we surely have much to give the Lord thanks for this morning. And I know that even when times can look dark and times can be difficult, when we can just stop and really examine our lives, we have much to give God thanks for. And most of all, we have thanks for salvation, which means that in spite of all other difficulties of life, if we're saved, we possess the best that life has to offer. We have the best and the most important thing, because salvation goes beyond this life. And I am very thankful this morning for the temporal blessings, for the physical blessings, but most of all, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ this morning. I'm thankful for His love that has proven steadfast and sure. I know all of us find people to be fickle. People change. You can't always rely on people, because sometimes if you put all your trust or hopes somewhere along the line, you're going to get disappointed. But with Christ, He has never let us down. And He's been a faithful friend. He's been consistent. And I'm thankful for that consistency in a world of change. Written the burden the Lord put on my heart. Lord gave me this message on the way home. So I was up in the air when the Lord gave me this message. In whom I am well pleased. And if you will turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 3rd chapter, begin reading with the 16th verse. Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You can just get a little picture. I see Jesus walking along. Remember, John the Baptist saw Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. And then we see a picture here of Jesus Himself leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. He left us an example of baptism. He didn't only tell us to do it, but He set the example, letting us know that as I am going to be crucified and resurrected in newness of life, so we are spiritually as well. And that's what baptism is a symbol of. If we go down into baptism a sinner, we're going to come up with sin. But it's a symbol of a spiritual experience that we have in Jesus Christ, that I've been forgiven of my sins. I was a sinner and sin was put to death, and I'm being resurrected out of the grave. And I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus set that example. And here also is a beautiful picture of the Trinity. Now, the word Trinity is never used in the Scripture, but the concept is there. That God is three, and it's a mysterious concept that words are very difficult to explain. But we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Some would say that Jesus Christ Himself was God the Father, that there is only one. But here we have a picture of Christ the Son, and we hear the voice of the Father, "My Son, and He brings delight to me. He brings pleasure to me." People are seeking endorsements of a lot of things in this life. But here we have a picture of God endorsing His Son. But I will say this morning, I want and my desire is for God to be able to look on my life, as I trust you have that same desire, and for God to say this morning, "I am well pleased." He looks on our life. This is Michael, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, thank the Lord. He's pleased with me. And you know that brings security. It brings a confidence. It brings a sense of rest when the Lord can look down and say, "I am well pleased." Well, people are seeking the approval of other people so often. People's lives are being defined by what someone else is going to think of me. And do you know, we can get in trouble real quick. Thank you. We can get in trouble real quick when we start living our lives to try to please everybody else. Because number one, you're going to find that you won't please everybody else. And I found in life, as I'm sure that most of you have, that if you try to please this person right here, this person's not going to be happy with you. And then you say, okay, I'm sorry, and you try to please them, and then this person's not going to be happy with you. So what do you do? Lord, help me to live to please you. Help me to quit looking for the approval of people, because everybody has a different perspective. And some people say you should, and some say you shouldn't. So Lord, help me to get focused on you. And help me, Lord, that my life and my decisions and my choices are framed around God's will and God's purpose for my life. That, Lord, that you can look down and say, I am well pleased. And you all have heard me tell you what Brother Austus used to say frequently. He said, if you please God, you will please everybody that deserves to be pleased. In other words, some people, you just can't please them in life. Some people, you could stand on your head and walk on your head, hands backwards, and do whatever, and they're not going to be happy because they have their own issues. So what do we do? How are we going to define our lives this morning? Lord, help me to get focused on the Father. Help me, Lord, to be open to you, that I won't allow my life to be defined by this one and that one, in this group and that group. But Lord, help me to walk humbly before you, that you can look down on my life and say, I am well pleased. And folks, if you please God, you're going to find a peace, as the scripture says, that passeth all understanding. When you face opposition, and when you face difficulties in life, when you are pleasing God, there's a rest that supersedes the trouble that you're going to find in life. Scripture says in Galatians 1:10, and I'll just read it to you to save a little time. Paul was speaking, he said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So who are we servants of this morning? God was well pleased with His Son Jesus because Jesus expressed repeatedly, I came to do the will of the Father. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I'm a servant of the Lord. And Jesus Himself said, He said, I came not speaking. What I speak is not my own, but I speak the words of the Father. So Paul was almost reiterating that same thing. He said, am I seeking to please men? And I would just caution all of us today, if your life is being driven by trying to please people. Now there's a place, all of us, don't misunderstand the balance of this, okay? And we'll get there a little bit. But there is a place in life that, yes, we do seek to please people. In other words, giving regard to their feelings and their thoughts and who they are. And yes, we give regard to that, but there are people that are driven by seeking to please people and they don't find spiritual rest until they come to the place that says, Lord, I'm going to seek to please you. There is no higher goal in life than to seek God's approval this morning. I've seen people pat each other on the back and act like they were doing real good, and God's approval wasn't there. You know, so we could all come and pat each other on the back and try to make ourselves just feel we're doing good. But do you recognize what we're seeking this morning is not men's approval? But Lord, I want your approval on my life. 1 Corinthians 10:5, it was speaking of the children of Israel. It says, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. In other words, they were making decisions and choices that God was not well pleased. It was not bringing delight to God. When He looked down and saw what was going on, He was not delighted. So I would ask us this morning, is God delighted with how we've been living? And you know, that's really, again, not for me to answer in your life or you to answer in my life, because this becomes very personal now. Is the Lord delighted with my life? is the Lord, can God say, I am well pleased. These issues, these hot button issues, you young people, these issues that you can have discussions about, and this one says you shouldn't do it, and someone else says, oh, it doesn't matter. And then you get liberal, and you get conservative, and you get fanatic, and you get compromised, and you get all this in there, and you say, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What does God want me to do? Lord, what is well-pleasing to you? Do you realize when we get to that heart of saying, Lord, what do you want? It goes beyond what is sin and what is not sin then. It goes beyond that. It goes, Lord, I want you to be delighted. So maybe I can do some things and I'm still saved, but Lord, I want you to be delighted with my life. I want you to be able to put your approval on it. And do you know when you feel God's approval and experience that, it's worth some of the sacrifices and some of the things we give up sometimes that maybe some say it doesn't matter and some, because now this is about me and God. This is about a personal relationship with God. And why do we want to seek God's approval? It goes beyond following again, say it again, the list on the board of thou shalt and thou shalt not. The motivation, it's like a child, you telling a child to do something and they get that look in their eyes and they kind of, and they go off and they obey. Does that delight a parent? And the child saying, well, I did what you asked. That's really not the point. Didn't bring a lot of delight. Yeah, the job got done, but your attitude stunk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you did it for the wrong your attitude, it didn't bring delight to me. And yeah, you did the dishes, or you folded the laundry, or you mowed the lawn, or whatever it is. But what brings pleasure is when the response is one of willful decision because of love. That ought to be the motivation why we are seeking to please God this morning. Because, Lord, I'm doing this because I love you. And I want to maintain a relationship with you that there's a closeness there. But when we begin to get this little haughty attitude of, okay, I'll do it, but do you recognize that begins to tear down the relationship that's there even though we're being obedient? It works that way with people, and it works that way with God. It goes beyond obedience now. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. In other words, it's not just the obedience, it's the willingness of heart. And Jesus said, if a man love me, he will do what? He'll keep my commandments. If a man love me, he'll keep my words. So there are some things the carnal man can keep, folks. There's a lot of things, even standards amongst us as a people. The carnal man can do those things. Those things don't bring about relationship. But because it comes down to the motivation behind it. That, Lord, I'm doing this because I don't want something to separate me in that closeness, in the relationship with you. Christ left us an example. Turn with me to 15th chapter of Romans. Romans in the 15th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 1. He said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, don't be selfish about it. You know, if we're not trying to please other people, have you ever known someone or maybe you've experienced something in your life that you were not too interested in pleasing anybody else or God, that it was all about me? Me generation is where we live today. That's called selfishness, isn't it? This is what I want. This is what I think. This is how it affects me, rather than saying, how does this affect other people? How does this affect this relationship? How does this affect my walk with God? The scripture says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. That when we look on each other and we work with people in the world, that we look on them with a desire to serve, a desire to bring about something good in their life, It's not about what I can get in return. He said not to please herself. Let every one of us, now this is biblical instruction, let every one of us please his neighbor. And you may say, well, Brother Michael, I thought you were just talking about pleasing God. The question we have for us now is, how do I please God? What do I need to do that God can look down and say, I'm well pleased? Here's part of the recipe right here. He said, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. In other words, let's not be selfish. Let's not be so focused on me and what I want and what I think that we lose sight that God has called us to love our neighbor as ourself. And when we love, and let me ask, who is our neighbor? Who? Everyone. Those that are in your life. That's our neighbor. Yeah, but Lord, you don't know them. Yeah, he does know them. Yeah, he does. He said, let's please our neighbor. Let's sacrifice. And it's not pleasing ourselves. It means there's sacrifice involved in loving our neighbor and serving them and pleasing them and going the extra mile for them. He said, for even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on thee. Even Christ pleased not himself. You know, Jesus is our example this morning. And if the Lord said, if God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, I want to know, what did Jesus do that caused God to be able to say that? Because that's what we're called to do too then. Well, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. So that would be one of the first places in our own lives we have to start examining. Am I doing the will of the Father? And people say, well, I'm not sure what God wants. You know, there are some things that I will acknowledge, that a few things in the Scripture I wish the Lord would have maybe been a little bit clearer about on a couple issues. But he chose not to, so I'm not charging God. I'm just saying that in the flesh, there's a few things, and I know that he did all things well, so maybe there are a few things he wanted left a little, sometimes we think, vague. But he gave us his Spirit. But the Word of God is an expression of God's will for our life. So if I want God's approval in my life, and I know what the New Testament, I know what it teaches me, that is the avenue to God's approval. This is his will. Jesus came and did the will of the Father. Jesus did not come seeking his own comfort or his own happiness. How many times do we begin to approach decisions in situations in life from a perspective of what's comfortable to me? Can we not all acknowledge that, yes, we take our own comfort into consideration? It's not always easy to go the extra mile. It's not always easy to turn the other cheek. It's not always easy to do those things. But if I want to hear God say, I'm well pleased, then this is what it's going to take. Because this is what he told us. This was his will. Not for our own pleasure. Not for our own comfort. And Christ was an example of that. Christ was obedient. He came to do God's work, not his own. Christ was willing, and not only willing, he did. He endured persecution. He endured suffering. He endured injustices. Is that what it's going to take for us to hear the Lord say, I'm well pleased? I remember, you know, it's easy. Brother Austin used to tell us too. He said, there are some people, they say, I don't want vengeance. I just want justice. I just want justice. I just want it to be fair. Have any of us felt that way? Do you realize that Jesus set an example? That in young people, it's a hard lesson to learn, okay? Life's not fair. I'm going to have to come to that place that I say, Lord, there's some injustice. There's been some things happen, but Lord, I want you to be pleased with my life. So what do I need to do? Follow the example of Christ. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. He committed it to the Father, and he bore it. In whom I am well pleased. And how much more moving can it be to remember Christ in the garden when he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, this is well pleased. When we can come to that place to say, not my will. And I want to say especially to the children and young people this morning, you're going to face things in life that your will is in, you're in a battle of your will, of what you want. And you know what? God gave all of us desires and dreams and plans, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we still need to come back and say, Lord, I give these to you because I want your will to be accomplished in my life. Folks, that's where we're going to find a place of spiritual victory. It's where we find a place of spiritual power. Let's read on. In verse 5, he said, Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mouth, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that our life, our mind, our hearts would glorify God, would bring the light to Him that He can look down and say, you know what? They're glorifying to me. They're lifting me up. Who are we lifting up this morning? See, where people are so driven by society to be accepted by society. But that's not what brings glory to God. What brings glory to God is when we say, Lord, your will, your way, your purpose. And then our life should be given to God, our undivided affection, undivided time, our influence, our hearts, given to God. And the Lord can look down and say, I am well pleased. The scripture says, let he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom what? Remember? But whom the Lord commendeth. In other words, we can sit back and say, I'm doing pretty good. It said, let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. Not he that approves of himself or commends himself. Because it's easy for people to justify themselves. It's easy for us to look on our own life and our own decision and say, yeah, I'm doing good. But rather, let's find a place in the Lord that the Lord is saying, well done. How do I know He's saying that? When we begin to look and say, place of submission, place of holiness, place of righteousness. There's another passage I'd like us to read in Hebrews in the 13th chapter. Hebrews chapter 13 and begin with verse 12. He said here, Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I want us to take note that it was talking about Jesus being taken outside of Jerusalem for the purpose of being crucified. And he's saying, let us follow that same example, going outside the camp. Folks, we're going to have to go outside. We have no continuing city. In other words, our acceptance and our commendation should not be coming from the society around us. But he said, let's follow his example and go out of the camp, willing to endure persecution, willing to endure the opposition and ridicule of our society, but follow his example, being willing to bear his reproach. Do you recognize that if we are not willing to be identified with Jesus Christ, God can't say, this is whom I'm well pleased with? You know, I told you children, what, a few weeks ago? I said, when you're walking, there's some of the saints around, you're kind of wanting to put a little distance so people won't think you're one of them. What is it with God? I don't want people to recognize that I believe differently because, you know, I'd be kind of the odd man out. He's telling us here, let's go forth with Christ. Not to just to be different. Well, if the world's wearing green, then I'll wear blue to show I'm different. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's saying doing the things because God wants you to, that keep that relationship. And if you receive opposition or persecution because of it, be willing to go outside the camp. Be willing to go outside of this city that we could still maintain God's approval in our life. And then he went on to say, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. And this comes what's been sung about and talked about already this morning. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Saints, it means it's more than having a thankful heart. That's part of it, but he's talking about something that's coming out. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Praise, honor, and he said, do good. In other words, do what's right. Do what's right in your life. And be willing, and don't forget to communicate. He's talking about giving and sacrificing for others. Praising him for his goodness. Living in such a way in obedience that the Lord can say, I'm well pleased because you're doing good. You're doing good. So, if you don't mind my asking this morning, how are we doing? How are we doing? Well, over here, I'm doing pretty good. The Lord's well pleased with this, but what about those other areas? What about those other areas, you know, Lord, I'm not sure. Are there areas in our life this morning that we could do better? I think probably for all of us there are. That Lord, that I want you to be pleased. I want you to really not just saying I can squeak by and still be saved. But Lord, I want you to be pleased with my life. He went on to talk, and maybe we'll just visit this another time. But in verse 18, no, I'm going to go ahead and read it now. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. He's talking about the ministry. He's saying submit to them. And too many times it seems like people are looking for reasons why they shouldn't submit, rather than looking for the reasons they should. We're talking about the Lord being well pleased with our life. The Lord's saying to be well pleased, he's looking for a people that will, we heard at Monarch, despise not the gift. For those that will accept the message that God gives through his ministry that frankly doesn't come any other way. He uses them for the perfecting of the saints. And so he said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. In other words, to be able, for those that are laboring and ministering, that there isn't going to be an account given. The ministry are watchmen. And if they're trying to please the people, then it means there's going to be some truths they're not going to preach, because not everybody always likes everything that's preached. And so his instruction to the ministry was, preach the word. If you see where the enemy is working and you don't let people know it, he said, their blood's going to be on your hands. Now that's scriptural, and I'm preaching to myself here. If there are things where the enemy is working and I see it and the Lord shows me and I fail to bring it out because I want you to like me, I'm going to give an account when I stand before God. And God's going to say, Michael, I gave you the message. Why didn't you preach it? It's like, well, they didn't want it. They didn't like it, so I didn't preach it. And I've got some blood on my hands. But he said here, rather. See, we're talking about pleasing God. Looking at it from a positive approach, when the Lord sends something, and like, this is pleasing to the Lord, in the faithfulness of God, that Lord, I'm opening my heart to you. He said, they're going to give an account. You know what a pleasure is to say, Lord, I preached, and it's a blessing to be able to preach the word, and someone said, I got it. I got something. It actually brought about a change in my life because I saw something when I was honest about it and I looked in my life and I grew and I was exercised because of God's working in my life. Do you know what a joy that brings? What a joy that brings. And then he went on to say this, pray for us. This is Paul speaking. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. We want to hear these words in whom I'm well pleased. Folks, let's live with a good, clear conscience then. In every area of life that, Lord, in my attitudes, in my speech, in where I go, in what I do, in how I act, Lord, in all of those areas, Lord, would you help me to live with a clear conscience? In closing, and Brother Sean prayed it in his prayer, found in Matthew in the 25th chapter, at the judgment when the Lord looked on the righteous and he said, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Do you know what a refuge it is this morning to hear the Lord say, well done? So I want to encourage us this morning, let's live in that place. Let's live in that place in every area where the Lord can look down and he can say, well done. Well done. I am well pleased. And if he can't, don't be discouraged this morning. Don't be discouraged, but let's come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need some more grace. Or I need you to work that my attitude would be changed or my perspective changed. Or Lord, I want you to work in my life because I want you to be able to say, well done. And as we began this morning with the message, this brings a place of comfort to children, to a safe environment to feel that approval of their parents. You know, as children of God, there's no greater refuge to know that the Lord is well pleased with our life. So I'd encourage to live in that place. Be encouraged this morning. Let's stay faithful. Let's not, when the Lord talks to us, let's not be discouraged or feel like, well, I just can't do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And anything that God calls us to do, he's going to give us the grace to do it through his name. Amen.